If you'll turn over to Ecclesiastes just this morning early, you know I've always looked in that book and always tried to get some. It's so deep you can't get everything out of it, and I'm afraid sometimes I've looked at it just myself and maybe misinterpreted sometimes what it said, or maybe it interpreted it correctly but didn't want to understand it the way it was, because it really shines a light on our lives. And we'll look over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and you'll know where I'm going here. Then we'll go over into the New Testament here in just a minute. But makes us think about, as Brother John says, sometimes it takes something, an illness or sickness or something, to get us down to where we really realize what the Lord means to us, or walk a little closer. Then maybe we would have before, or maybe we did before, and understand what things mean. So if you go to the Ecclesiastes 12, and then we'll back up a little bit, but and forgive me, my Bible I usually use is in Houston, and boy, them pages are worn, but at the same time, it's all almost like my fingers can just turn right to where I need to go. It just flips. It just—I don't know how you got a Bible you use all the time. It's like it just moves with you. And this one was a gift, and I use it when I'm home. But it just doesn't want to flip as easy, I guess, is what I'm saying. It just not been as worn. But said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And as you look at that, especially at the verse right above that, and if we believe Solomon was the wisest man to ever live, which I do, he tells us the bottom line right there. Out of all the other books in the Bible, out of all the other prophets, out of all the other apostles, and even Paul, or we think about John, still Solomon here tells us, says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And that's as sometimes, you know, I'll send an email, and I get real wordy, and I know it's hard to believe that I get that way, and I'll type a lot, and then at the bottom, I guess I say, well, you know, if they know me very well, they know to scan to the bottom of the email, because usually I'll type a little thing and say, well, the bottom line is this. And then I'll just put one sentence or whatever. And that's what Solomon's giving us here. Well, sometimes in our life it's hard to see that. We want to live that way, but we don't always live that way. I think, not that we forget that to serve God is the bottom line. But it is. But also, there's the other side to that. God's keeping us as well. If you're saved and in the family of God, He's watching over you and keeping you no matter what your trials, no matter what your troubles may be. And that's what you see in previous Ecclesiastes, and sometimes I miss. It's like if you look at the beginning of chapter 12, God talks about when you're in your youth, and in a little bit of chapter 11, talking about remember God and serve God when you're able to, because he starts talking about as you get older, that becomes more difficult to do. And so even in youth, there can be vanity. And even being young, in other words, thinking, well, I'm young, nothing will ever happen to me. I'll do that as I get older. I'll put that off. I'll wait a while, not right now. I know we talked about people sometimes come in to hear the gospel being preached. Sometimes they walk out the door lost. And I remember Brother Billy Mitchell used to say the threshold of the door. How many lost people walk through that every day thinking, well, I'll come hear that another day. You know, I'll come back another day. I'll be fine today. I don't need that right now. And there's so many people that are lost, I think that way. But yet, will they have another day to come back? And that's one thing that I think with any illness, or just with just if you sit down and think, you all know people. I work with a young lady who her husband just this past summer, he just pulled out, passed a car, pulled out, went to pass it. Truck pulled out in the other lane. He hit it head on. That was it. His life ended. And he never thought that it would end that quick. So lives are truly like a vapor. They appear for a little while, then it vanishes away. And you never know when that time may be. And you say, oh, he's talking morbid this morning, bringing us down. No, what I'm saying is, as Solomon says, and sometimes I've looked at that and really get kind of myself gloom and doom. I was saying, well, Solomon, wisest man, he said there's no need to do this, there's no need to do that. But he also says, enjoy your days that God's given you. Enjoy what God's given you. If he's blessed you, enjoy it. Enjoy it for today. But remember, keep in mind, don't forget. Don't let youth, and I know we're all in here a little bit older, so we're not the younger crowd, so to speak, but don't let youth fool you and think, oh, I've got all kinds of time. Because sickness or accidents, they happen to young people, same as they do middle age, same as they do older patients or older people. And I say older patients because I think about sometimes they're at MD Anderson. I'll see some people that look quite a few, maybe years older than I am, going through something very similar and thinking, well, you know, they want, even though they may be 80 years old, they still want to maybe have 5-6 more years as well. And it, you know, they're older, but they still have family they love and they want to see and they want to go on, etc. And so keep that in mind. And I think that's what Solomon tries to tell us here. And what I'm leading to, we'll get over to the New Testament, is I told the pastor this before, is that we had a nurse one day, and I needed blood. I think that's what it was. It was blood. And I'll tell you up front, I've never seen this lady since then. I've just seen her that day. We had her one day, and she was from India, and she had been saved, I guess, by missionaries or a missionary church or something set up in India. And she, of course, she knew the what you'd call the King's English, I guess. Her English sounded a little bit more like ours because she lived in Texas, but it's neat to run across them. They speak proper, you know, and we speak Southern. We speak country. And so, but we had her as a nurse, and she just out of the blue went to testify and told us her testimony. And she made me think of Ecclesiastes. It made me think of Solomon, because the way I think about how the days sometimes go and how we should look at life. And she truly let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So with each room that she went into, each patient she saw, if she had opportunity, she was a testimony, or gave a testimony, gave a witness. And what she talked about was the kingdom of God. And she said, if you've been saved, you're in the kingdom of God already. She said, you're there. That's what you're working for. And her comments were this. She said, Brian, I know you'd like to be out of here. And she said, like everybody else, you want to be able to do things or go places. And she said, you want to have a nice house, comfortable home. You want to have a nice car. You want to be able to go to the ball games. You want to be able to do this or that. You want to be able to have, you know, your children have the best. You want to be. And she said, when all that happens, sometimes, she said, if you're not careful, you'll forget about that your duties as a Christian. And she said, sometimes, she said, having a sickness or an illness, she said, keeps us focused on the kingdom of God and the things of God. And she said that when she hears that, a lot of times around church, she said that's not a bad thing. But she says she warns her friends even, and even her husband. She says, be cautious, be careful. And this was a lady. She was a nurse. She was working in there, working on me, hanging my blood. And they have a policy when they hang a unit of blood, they have to stay with you 20 minutes. So I've had some of them come in before and say, well, you watch it on TV. And, you know, they say, hope it's a good program because I'm going to be with you 20 minutes. But she took that 20 minutes to say, you know, think about the kingdom of God and don't think about the world. She said, all those things she said I've just mentioned are all worldly. Those are all things that you're striving for. She said, you know, people's garages, it made me think of Preacher Jack. She said, people's garages are full of things of the world, and they think that's what makes them successful. She said, they think that's what counts. And that goes back again to somebody maybe hearing the gospel preached, and they go through the threshold, as Brother Mitchell would say, of the door. And, oh, I'll hear from you another day. I can be saved another day. Is that they look at how blessed they are in the world and think, oh, well, I don't need the word of God. I don't need God. Look what I've done. Look what I've got. I'm doing well. And, you know, you think about it today, that's the way a lot of people are. As long as they're doing well, then they must be okay. They must be doing okay. They must be walking with God the way God would want them to walk. And that doesn't mean God doesn't bless you as well with things and a good job and a nice home and et cetera. I'm not saying that, because God can bless you with those things as well. And I've always thought of this. I think God knows what we can handle and what we can't. And what I mean by that is there's some people maybe that's blessed more with monetary items, but they're more maybe mission-minded, or they're more minded to help others with that, where that might be others that the Lord knows their heart, that they might be more, oh, well, we're all human. Maybe do something different with that. Maybe they're blessed in another way. Maybe they're more, we talk about the missionary-minded, maybe they're meant to be a missionary instead. And as we've often said, in the church and in this building here, there are people with skills to handle everything that needs to be done at this church. And the Lord's put them there. Whether it's changing the light bulb, whether it's leading songs in the choir, whether it's singing in the choir, the teachers back in the back with the young people, even the meal today that's being prepared. There's people that God has placed and put in those positions to be able to do that. And so when she talked about the kingdom of God, she said, Brian, keep in mind, that's what we're working for. We're not working toward that. She said, we're already in it. We've already been saved. And that made me really stop and think. I thought, she's right. And so when I read over in Ecclesiastes and about the foolishness of man, that's when we're worldly. And that's when we think of ourselves in the world, not day to day. And so she paused for a second. She said, you know, I'm just thankful. She said that God gives me the opportunity to be the witness for him. And she said, I have to consider and think of myself already on that path. She said, and that path leads me, she said, one day to death, but after death, I'm alive. She said, I'll have a new body. And she said, because I'm in the kingdom of God. And so, as I think about that, and you have to keep that in mind and in that perspective. And one thing she pointed out, she said, but for some reason, she said, sometimes we're all on different paths, and only God knows why. And she said, you don't understand that. And she said, some people struggle at home. And she said, some people, as she pointed out, have never known hunger. You know, she said some people have never known what the word survive means. They've always been wealthy or well off, even grew up maybe in a family that way. They've never known what it means to struggle. She said where other people's had to work and sweat and struggle, She said, but they could all both be saved, but you wonder why they have the paths they do. Some are sick and struggle in their families, and they have to deal with that. Where some never see that, and they see long years. And she said, it makes you scratch your head. And we talked about Solomon, and that's what he talks about. But at the same time, as she went back to and reminded me, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It doesn't break it out to say, well, if you've had this and this and this, well, then that excludes you. It's something that we just don't understand why it's that way, why we have different paths in our lives. And you say, well, you know, I've done everything right. I pray the way I should. I read my Bible. I go to church. Things just don't seem to work out. Well, keep in mind, you're still a child of God. And why it's so far above us, you don't know how you may be affecting other people. And that's something she tried to point out to me. As she, again, she hung that blood and it was running in and she took that time. And so it made me stop and think. So what I did is, and just briefly this morning, if you'll turn over to Acts chapter 1, I looked at the kingdom of God. And we have to remember that. And so in Acts chapter 1, and think about this, and said, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, hath given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. You know, and that just come to me, and she didn't mention it, but it just come to me now, even in study, I didn't think about that. Even the apostles had different paths that God put them on. They did. And they served in those paths. Well, people here the same way. We got people in the bus ministry, people teaching, got a pastor, got people that are prayer warriors in the church that we don't even know about. People have different paths, just like she was pointing out. And I don't know why she brought that up that day. I was kind of down, but I didn't think she could tell it because I'd really kept it inside. You know, I was getting blood. I was going to stay another day. I didn't want to do that. And you know, I just didn't want to fool. And what she was trying to lift me up to say, your path that you're on, you need to be joyful. You need to be excited about it as much as you can. Because you're working, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, you're an example, you're a witness, you're a child of God. And then that's when she kept going, for the kingdom of God, because that's where you'll be. But anyway, as we read this, verse number 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. Boy, you know, a passion, that's the deepest love that you can have, passionate about something. You know, if you run across somebody and you're having to fight them over something, you know, I've told you about my brother and I before getting expelled off the bus because we got in a fight, you know, and I'm the one that got into it, but then the other boy's brother jumped in on it too. So if my brother hadn't come over the top of the bus seats with the metal lunchbox and hit the other boy in the head, we'd have been okay. But, you know, it wasn't plastic back in those days. It was a speed buggy lunchbox, and they were metal. So, you know, you hurt somebody with that thing. And I guess he'd watched too much, wrestling, that's right. And he come over the top, hit him over the top of the head. But he was passionate. He was going to do whatever he had to. He loved his brother. Still does, I hope. And he come across the top of that thing, and, you know, he's probably only 6 years old, kindergarten or first grade, had to be, is all he was. But he was going to take that other fellow out any way he could. Very passionate about that. And I think about that, and I think about the word passion. You got a deep love for, a deep concern for. So to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So here we see, it says, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In other words, what's to come? What's the promises? Well, what are we going to have? What's it going to look like? I still think today, and I may be completely wrong, I guess one day I'll find out, and I will, I still think the difference between where we're at and where we'll cross over is like, again, saran wrap. That's the way I think about it. And we can't see really, and I know we can see through it both sides with that, but in our world you can't. But I think it's just that quick to be over. It's that thin. You're just over on the other side. In other words, when people die and you're saved, I think it's like if you could walk through it, and you do, I think, but it's just right there. And you, it's that thin of a layer, that thin of a barrier. And I think and the reason why it makes me think that is how Christ appeared after the resurrection, how he just walked through the walls. Or he'd just be two men be walking down the road and all of a sudden he's right there with him. And see, we'll have a body like his. So I think in my mind, and you guys can laugh at me if you want to, I can't explain it like my mind wants to see it, but I think you're just right there. And I think we're right there right now, if you're saved. I think you're really just, and me talking about myself, not just you, but if we're saved, I think we're just right there. It's just a step, so to speak. So you think about that. You're a step away from being in the kingdom of God. You're a step away from all the promises of the kingdom. You think about it, it says streets as of gold. So you're just a step away from being there. It's almost like you just fall through, but I know we'll just step through. You're there. And so how quick that happens, as we'd say it, in a twinkling of an eye. And I think that's why here are some of the things he talked about concerning the kingdom of God. You know, Preacher Jack used to tell us, he said if we were told more about the kingdom of God and more about what awaits us once we were saved, he said, I think people would be taking their lives to get out of here because they'd know how good it is. And he said, I remember him saying that, and he'd kind of say that and kind of chuckle. He said, that's how glorious it's going to be. Yeah. Is that you'll be like, well, if it's that good, I'm not hanging around here. Why am I even staying? And what that nurse is trying to point out to me is that's how you need to think about each day as you start your day. Is that, you know what, in reality, she'd say, you're really just a step away from being in the kingdom of God, of getting the blessings of God, being saved, of being there. So why not act that way? Why not be joyful? Why not be excited? Why not be a witness? Because you know what? You may not get that opportunity tomorrow, but the flip side, she said, is the person you're talking to may not have that opportunity to hear the gospel again either. And then they're only a step away from being in hell. And that's for eternity. And I thought, this is a little nurse from India. And she's sitting here and being a witness to us. And then she went out the door as quickly. I mean, really, this is really, you think about this, how this happened. And she disappeared. We never saw her again. Never came back in. And I'm not saying she disappeared like she went out there and she was poof and she was gone. But then another nurse come in and said, well, I'll be taking care of you the rest of the day. Said, so-and-so's done this and she's got to do this. And I'll be your nurse. And I looked at Kim. I said, well, wonder if she'll be back. We were there the next day. She wasn't there. We were there the next day. She weren't there. Been there since. Never seen her. Don't know where she went.
Brother Brian, can I take
yeah, go ahead.
Brother?
Yeah.
You know, you shared with me way back early on when you were trying to decide where to go. You know, it was Mayo, New York, or Houston. Is that right, brother?
That's right.
Doubt if there was a nurse up there that had that in their heart would let it come out of her mouth.
Yeah.
Think about that, brother.
Amen.
You're in an atmosphere.
Yeah.
Where you're at.
That's right.
That's uncommon in America.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, people think about getting fired for saying something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That woman's in an atmosphere that didn't mind to talk like that. It wasn't out of line. It wasn't out of order.
Yeah. You're right. Amen. And she does that to encourage you. And it's an encouragement to me. And Kim, as soon as she left, Kim looked over at me. She said, well, we've already had church today. First thing Kim said. She said, we've already heard preaching or a witness testifying. And she smiled real big, Kim did. And we had. And it was an encouragement to Kim, I believe, as well, too, to realize. Because it's, you know, difficult on her caring for somebody. I'm sure she's busy back and forth taking care of me. And at that time, I was in the hospital, so what's wrong? She's trying to figure that out, and she's got to go back to the apartment and come back. So, you know, a lot of running. And so she was an encouragement to her to say, we don't know why these things happen. We don't know why we're on the path we're on. And I don't know why I'm saying that. Maybe there's somebody in here today, and maybe it's not sickness, but maybe something's come up and put you on a path that it's difficult for you. Maybe you have struggles every day. And in those struggles, sometimes we forget about what God's done for us and what awaits us just one step away. And you may say, no, wait a second, I'm not just one step away. There's nothing wrong with me. And then that's when I bring you back again to remind you, because Scripture is, Ecclesiastes said, fear God, keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. But also, as James tells us, his life is like a vapor. And as he didn't say, and these people only that are at MD Anderson, or these people that are only at Mayo Clinic. When it says life is like a vapor, it means every single person. It does. And that means even the lost that may come in today, hear the gospel, walk out. It also includes the saved, who you may come in and out, go home today, may not see tomorrow. You never know what tomorrow holds. We're not promised tomorrow. To live for today. And to, you know, that's why I think it says to have joy and to be excited about every day. You know, you go, and we're human. We all have down days. But, you know, as I call it, the gloom and doom. You know, I've told you that before. That my father-in-law won't watch anything UT with my mother-in-law and myself, because the entire time, well, they're going to blow it. Well, same thing yesterday. They lost that game, And he went into the bedroom and watched it on his TV and went and watched it with my mother-in-law, and he wouldn't call me to afterwards, because he knew if he called me beforehand, I'd say, well, it's only a one-point game. You know they're going to find a way to lose it, because of gloom and doom. But talking about our lives, we need to be joyful, need to be excited about what God's done for us. And if He's given you today as much as you can, you need to be excited and love one another and tell other people. And don't be ashamed of the things of God. And you need to be a witness as much as you can. And I think God will bless you for that. And again, I can't answer the question, as Solomon could not answer, why some have seemed to have advantage, as Solomon says. I don't know why. And as he pointed out, and as we see sometimes, why some go hungry, why some have to work like a dog, and some never know the word survive, because they've always had everything laid out in front of them, and they live their entire life that way. And that's just a puzzle that we don't know, and we don't understand why. But one other place I wanted to read to you was over in Hebrews, and I'll be done. Hebrews chapter 12, if I can find it here. If you go on and read there in Acts chapter 1, you'll see she's getting some of those other verses, some things Christ had told them. But Hebrews chapter 12, and again, bear with me. I can find it. That's no problem. But my pages don't want to turn as easy. And my eyes are not as good as they were. Here we go, chapter 12. Maybe verse 27. And this word, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I'm going to read that one more time. See, that's to me, that's one of the promises of God, or something that we need to be excited about as far as the kingdom of God and in our salvation. It said, and this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, or that can be moved, can be shaken. The world can be shaken up. You know, we got all kinds of things going on in this country now. A lot of people would say that, especially as far as, I don't know how to describe it, without being right down the middle, because, you know, we try to in our churches to keep it non-political. But there's a lot of things going on, I guess, in our leadership of the nation. And it seems to be shaken. Seems to be shaking this country. There's a lot of things in the country that should be getting fixed or repaired or checked on or followed up on or taken care of, but they're not. We're spending time doing other things, maybe, whether it be right or wrong. But it's a country that's going to be shaken either way, no matter what happens. Instead of these things that are shaken, as the things that are made, and I read that as made of man's hands, things we've done, but also it could be things that which God has made. But the next line says that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. God's word stays the same. And you know, you think about this. Jesus Christ, he was born of a virgin. And of course, we see him laying in the manger. Of course, he lived, preached, and then he's crucified and resurrected. And you still mention his name, and everybody knows who it is. You think about that, how amazing that is. I think about that a lot, and I've said this before, and it's true, though, it's true. Sit down at the lunch table, mention Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, boy, I didn't know I'd been here that long. Let me get on, they want me to get on back out there. You know, you might have one or two remain and talk with you, but that's about it. And you think about that. Who else can you mention? You can't mention, I'm trying to think of other people through history. You can't mention any of the presidents. You might get a quick conversation, but that's it. But you don't get the reaction that you do. And to me, just when I was lost, just being able to see that, when you would see just the reaction when the name Jesus Christ was mentioned, the reaction that you would get, you knew that there's power in the name or the word. And so you think about when you start reading Scripture, the power that's in that. You know, how many times have you heard the Christmas story from the Scripture read? And I call it the Christmas story, but again, as we talk about Mary and Joseph, where we see the Christmas play, how many years have you seen that or read about it and you know it by heart? A lot of you do. In here, it's several for all of us. But when you hear it again and see it again, it's as if you've seen it for the first time and you're excited. Just think about the power of that. And there's nothing else you can read to do that. Some of us may watch a movie two or three times, four times, but I don't know why you do, and you're bored and you're back and forth. But it's just not the same. You may read a book, but you may read it twice at the most. Most of the time, maybe once. But Scripture, you go back and you go back and you go back and you go back. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And as we look here, it says, again, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. And that's what she was trying to tell me. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And in all her 20 minutes, that's how she ended, was just remember that. No matter what path you're on, circumstances around you, keep in mind you're to serve God. And he's talking about which cannot be moved. He's talking about the kingdom. It's not going to be shaken. It'll be there. It's something you can believe in and trust in. Just as you can the Word of God. You know, you think about, and I'm done because I'm out of time. Here I'm still going over. You think about how many people, if you remember the guy that came with the Bibles, and it was years and years and years ago, a lot of you weren't here then, but he was over on this other side. And one thing he pointed out, and I remember he talked about those Bibles, is he would tell stories that had been passed down that he had heard about how people protected the Word of God and guarded it. And even though countries, nations, you know, tried to destroy the Word of God and get rid of it, we've still got it here today. You think about that. And again, when you read it, people move. You get a reaction, some type of reaction. It may not be visibly seen, but it's in their heart. And that's the only book you can read, and that can occur. There's no straddling the fence when you got the Bible. Thank y'all for your attention. And again, it tickled me to death to be here today. I was thankful to be here, and hopefully my numbers will get better. All my numbers are getting better. It's just my immune system. Just it's just right above. If you could draw a line on below it, I can't fight anything off. I'm just right above it. I just need to go up just a little bit, just a little bit more, to give me just a little bit more defense. And so that's why I try to steer away from crowds and people. We'll all be praying about that. I'll ask you too, that I might just get that just a little bit more. But anyway, that's it.